In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
We read in one of the epistles for the morning, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. According to the grace that is given to us. Grace is given. You, brothers and sisters, all of us together are called according to a purpose and equipped by God Himself for that purpose. No one who calls himself a Christian can be so on their own. There is no Christ, and we don't have Christ without the church. That's a quote from St. Ignatius of Antioch, who was alive and some say wrote some of his letters before even the last pages of the New Testament were penned. For the church is Christ's body, the context in which each of us works out our salvation in Him. So Christianity is fundamentally social and relational in this regard. One of the essential ingredients of our sanctification, then, is our relationships with one another. Take a look around. This occurs in our marriages, in our families, in the relationships within monasteries, and also in the local parish. It was beautiful to be at the All-American Council, where all of the Orthodox churches, well, representatives from all the churches from the whole country were gathered together to see 300 priests on their way into the altar to receive Holy Communion, and many more other faithful, the delegates, the lay observers, their families. Beautiful, all of us, all together, one body in Christ. In the previous verses of today's epistle, just prior, St. Paul writes, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. At the beginning of Romans chapter 12, which today's epistle is from, Paul gives a famous therefore. He has spent 11 chapters expositing what the Christian faith is. And now at the beginning of chapter 12, he says, therefore, teaching us what? Not what we believe, but how to live, the implications of our doctrines and beliefs. Because we believe and affirm these things, therefore, let us live in this manner. And one of Paul's very first points in this regard is to say that we all together form a body in Christ, one charismatically gifted to meet the different needs of our community, and charismatically gifted to fulfill our mission, his mission, within the world. So, having then different gifts, Paul writes, let us use them. He then lists some of these gifts. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. The word there is serving, or in Greek, diakonia. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. And the word he who leads is proistaminos, which if you're from the Greek tradition, you know, is the title given to the rector of the parish. It's the Greek word for the rector. He who leads, the proistaminos. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. One of our fathers teaches that all of the types of roles of service in the church are mentioned here in these few verses from St. Paul. And so that means that no one in this room is excluded from this list. Each and all of us have a role by our baptism, and all of us can find ourselves in this passage. Yet, if we proceed with an individualistic view of our Christian faith, it's mostly about me and Jesus, right? Or I just keep to myself. Or my family life, it doesn't allow for much attendance at the services of the church or the activities of the church. Then two problems arise. First of all, we ourselves are impoverished because we've separated ourselves from the life of the body. Our Lord promises, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Grace is found in the assembled community, and a branch that separates itself from the vine withers. This is a spiritual law. But also, by not sharing and using our gifts, the community suffers. Each of us is called according to a purpose, and when we don't fulfill that purpose, the body suffers. The body suffers because now it lacks the ability to fulfill one of its functions. And also because when one part doesn't fulfill its purpose, it brings discouragement to the rest. The second concern is seen clearly in what Paul says next in his epistle. Let love be without hypocrisy. And here Paul is talking about how we relate to one another. He's not talking about your relationship with your coworkers, you know, on the job site, or the world at large here, but here how we in the church relate to each other. So again, take a look around at one another as I read these words. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. See how Paul is concerned with how our relationships affect each other and how our disposition affects each other. I was once at the consecration of a new church, which is an incredibly powerful service. And the Metropolitan in his homily pointed out that many of the verses regarding the consecration service have to do with martyrdom. Why martyrdom at a consecration? Because, he said, the life of a Christian is always a martyr's life. We take up our cross and follow him. We die to self daily. We are called to love, to a life of love not for ourselves, but of others. So our life is in our neighbor. Our life is in each other. St. Maximus says that all holiness on one hand, and sin on the other, can be reduced to this formula. Nobody can reduce things to formulas like St. Maximus. Sin, he says, flows from us when we turn the energy of our lives towards loving ourselves. Towards, he says in Greek, philautia. Philos, love, autia, the self, love of the self. But holiness and the energy of God flow from us when we turn the energy of our lives towards loving others outside of ourselves, giving ourselves away, which he calls philanthropia. Philos, love, anthropia, humanity. So philautia, loving yourself, versus philanthropy, loving the other. So the spirit of the martyrs, of steadfastly day by day sacrificing our own desires and pleasures for the sake of the life of the church and its mission, this Metropolitan said, must be our spirit too. And in the consecration of a church building, the Holy Spirit recalls all the faithful to that aim for which the building was built. Above all, we have a singular aim and focus in our lives, Jesus Christ, putting him first above all else. And putting him first also means putting the life of his community first. We who receive Holy Communion are organically, biologically, ontologically part of Christ. So we care for each other as we care for him. And in caring for one another, we care for him. So, how are we prioritizing our lives today? Given all that we've been given in our holy baptism, the point is not simply to prod us to get more involved in the life of the local parish, though that's part of the point. But the point in general is to say that Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, the Lord of history, and the King of all creation. And this great King and Lord wants with all his heart to usher you and I into his glorious kingdom, to share his life with us in a restored, renewed, and all-glorious creation, which is why he's called us and knit us together into his body and has poured out gifts upon us by the Holy Spirit. This common life together is, simply put, the path of life, the path toward life, trodden by the Holy Church in each generation across the centuries. The life of the Church is Christ's saving plan for the whole world. The life of the Church is Christ's healing of the world. And he stands here today, inviting us to put him first. Not to be a good person, or to be okay, or to fulfill some duty, but out of love for him, for all the good things he's given to us. We commit ourselves to the shared life of the Church out of gratitude to God, first, and then also as an act of humble obedience to our Lord and Master. Through the prayers of the holy prophet Elijah, whose memory we celebrate this day, may our Lord Jesus Christ help us at St. Andrew's to fulfill with joy this mission he has set out before us, unto the healing and restoration of the entire cosmos. Amen.